The title of my message to you is Remember Me. The words of Jesus as he offered the cup and said to his disciples, "Do this in remembrance of me." It is a big weekend in the history of the church. It's a big weekend in the history of the world. It's a big weekend in our history. I don't worry about the dates right at the moment, if it's the exact time. For me, it's a very special, something really deep. And I just felt different this morning as I came into the meeting. Just felt different as we started singing. Just felt different. And I want to declare to you today, I am glad I have been redeemed. I'm glad I belong to the King. It is so different. This world, this weekend could have been a very different weekend for many people sitting here today. But it's different for a different reason. And it's because he did what he did and he came for us that we can be saved. Jesus cries out, and these are one of the words that he cried out, are the very last words that he said, "It is finished." Beautiful statement. A statement that we often think about as just the closing of a chapter. But it was a lot more than that. It was a mission accomplished. It is used many times in the scriptures, that same terminology. It is finished. And it was used as a mission accomplished. A messenger gone to send a message somewhere else, come back to his master and say, "It is finished. I have sent my message. I've given my message." It would be used on the Day of Atonement when the high priest would go in behind the curtain and come back from outside of the curtain and he would say, "It is finished. I have done what I have to do. We have offered the blood before the Father and he has received it and we are forgiven. It is finished." It would also be used in a business term where people would have a great debt to pay and they would go to the bank or go to the lender and they would say to them, "I have come to pay the last payment." And he would walk away from that saying, "It is finished. It is fully paid. It is finished." It is also said of a period of time that comes to an end and a new period begins. It is finished. The old has passed and the new has come. And all of these have reference to what Jesus had done on the cross that day. And when he cried out these words, "It is finished," he meant every one of these things. It is finished. I want you to put up that scripture, Luke 22, verse 15. He said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. I have put everything into this moment. This is a glorious moment. This would be a Passover that never was and will never ever be repeated again." But he knew that. His disciples didn't. And so they set themselves up for that particular feast, the feast of the Passover. It was a feast of great rehearsal. It was a rehearsal of something that God had done for Israel when they were still in Egypt, that God had set them free from Egypt and take them out of the bondage of Egypt and brought them through into the promised land. And so every time they had the Passover, and this Passover would be serviced at least 3,500 times already. So they were well rehearsed in this kind of Passover. They knew exactly what was to happen. But Jesus was really going to set them up for something very, very different. And I don't think they even realized what was happening at that particular time. And then Jesus goes on to say, verse 16, "For I tell you that I will not eat until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." It's this particular Passover. And he took a cup. And when he had given thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And then he took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise, the cup, after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. And in 1 Corinthians, a word is added to that, and it says, do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The Passover, a traditional feast. Could I just have those cups? Thank you. These were not the cups. But I need to show you the picture this morning. There were full cups at that ceremony that day. There were always full cups. Or have I lost you? All right, they'll be back again. There were always full cups. 3,500 times they had celebrated this feast, and there were always full cups at that feast. The main ingredients of that meal was a roasted lamb, one per family. If your family was too small, because they had to eat all the meat of that particular lamb, they would need to invite a friend or another family alongside them, and they would eat it. And they would rehearse everything that went into that Passover, the time when God had set them free from Egypt. Everything. They would rehearse time and again. There were four things that they would deal with, and I'm going to deal with those four things in a moment. Many times they would repeat something. The youngest son would ask serious questions. The questions like, how is this? How did this happen? Where did it start? And he would have rehearsed questions, and he would go through all of those questions. And each time the father would give him an answer, and they would rehearse the story of how they'd been released, how they'd been set free, how they went through the Red Sea, how God had led them into the promised land. They would rehearse that over and over and over again. Every time that the father would give an answer to the question of the young son or the youngest in the family, the people would say, all the people in that room would say, it is enough. So when he said, God has set us free from bondage of Egypt, they would all say, it is enough. God has led us through the sea, they would say, it is enough. So these were the things that were rehearsed time and time again at this particular feast. And so God had set this up. Jesus had set this up. He said to his disciples, set up a room, go to the room, find the room. And the story is written quite clearly in the scriptures, how they got to the place of sitting in that upper room waiting for that. It is a great, great experience. I can tell you this morning, I'm so excited when I just think of what happened at that particular time. It was like, I don't know if you guys have seen movies, you know, American movies where they have a situation called DEFCON. You seen that? All right. Sounds weird to say that in church. But anyway, it's a kind of experience. DEFCON actually means the defense readiness of a particular condition, defense readiness situation or condition. So DEFCON is it. And DEFCON 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1 being the highest level, and that American president would stand behind a red button and he would press the red button if it needed to happen. And that was really the outbreak of a nuclear war. And he would be at that particular time. And this experience, the experience that we are going to talk about this morning, is exactly like one of those things. It changed everything. It changed everything. It was like the end of a world. It was like the end of everything that these disciples understood. End of everything. It was something so brand new, so unique, so powerful, so wonderful that has changed our lives. We must remember that this whole event took place in one day. Their day started at 6 o'clock in the evening, and that's where it started. This whole feast started at 6 o'clock in the evening. At sunset. And they went through the whole feast. And after the feast, they sang a hymn. Remember, it was the feast that Jesus announced his betrayer. That was the same feast. He announced his betrayer. They got up. They sang a hymn. Do you know what hymn they sang? They sang one of the six hymns that they would sing during that whole feast. It was rehearsed 3,500 times before. So it was a hymn that they knew. They knew the hymn well. It was Psalm 118. Do you know what is said in that psalm? One of the verses in the psalm says this: "This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." I know we sing the song for a different reason. Jesus sang the song because this is the day. This is the day. Now, I don't know about you, but I kind of feel, how did Jesus really feel about giving up his life? It was the last day of his life. It was the last day of his life on earth. He was going to die that day. Before the next sunset, he would be buried. So from that sunset until the next sunset, that was the day that he was talking about. So they left the upper room and they went to the Mount of Olives, where he was going to pray. On the way to the Mount of Olives, he passes through a vineyard and he says to his disciples, "I am the vine and you are the branches." And he goes further and he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man comes to the Father but by me." It's strange language that Jesus is talking to them on this particular time. It seems like there's something different about what he's saying to them. And then he goes to the place of prayer, and you can read the prayer in John 17, the prayer where he speaks about the Father and himself being one, and that he wants us to be one with him, and that we are to be joined together with the Father. And then the scripture says that he went a little further, and that was the place where he actually said to the Father, "Let this cup pass from me." These things, these events happened that night, and then he was arrested. Then after his arrest, he was tried, he was beaten, and then he was put on a cross, and he died. And before the sun set that day, he was buried. All right, let me go back to the cup so that I don't confuse you today. I must start off by saying this. It was a very big event. I don't know if we realize it this morning, and I don't know if I can put enough emphasis on this event today. Because we must see that this whole thing was not just, it's not just a little standalone event. It was part of Jesus at the Passover feast was going to become the Passover lamb. He was going to lay down his life as the Passover lamb. It was a transition that only eternity understands, that we will never understand the depth of what happened at that particular moment when he pressed that button, when he said, "This is the day. This is the day." And he took the cup. Now, each of the cups, and I want you to put up those scriptures in Exodus, please. Exodus 6. "Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the people of Israel." This is what they would rehearse time and time again. "Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the people of Israel, whom the Egyptians hold as slaves, and I have," what? "I have remembered my covenant. I have remembered my covenant. Say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out." And that was the first cup that they took. "I will bring you out." And they celebrated around that. "I will bring you out." And his disciples would repeat that. Jesus would say these words, and his disciples would say, "He brought us out." And they would drink of the cup. And that would be the first cup. And then he moved to the second one. "I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from slavery." And that would be the second cup. And this would all be part of the meal. This meal took several hours. And that would be the second cup that he drank and put it to them. And then the third time, he would say, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. And that would be the third cup that they would do. And at that particular time, Jesus kind of just messed this thing up a little. And I'm not quite sure of the sequence, and it doesn't really matter what the sequence is. But at this particular time, Jesus said to them, and this would be the first time that he would take his cup, fill it up, and give it to them, and said, take and drink all of it. Drink all of it. And then he would declare that this cup is the new covenant in my blood. So he couldn't drink of his own blood. He was going to give his own blood. And then he says to them, I will never drink of this cup again. Until I will not drink of this cup until that day. And I drink it new in the kingdom of heaven. And that will be, my friend, I will tell you this very much and very clearly today. It will be our wedding day. It will be our wedding day. It will be the day that we come and become the bride forever and eternity of what he had done. This cup is the cup of the New Testament. I know this is wrong to have Nescafe on it, but I want to set the picture in your mind that there was a third cup and that Jesus didn't partake of that cup. And then when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, what cup was he speaking about when he said, let this cup pass from me? It was this cup, the cup of his own blood. Let this cup pass from me. And it didn't pass from him. He had to drink it. But it was his own blood that he had to give in order for this to be fulfilled, that when one day we can get to heaven, we will be able to partake of it new with him as our bridegroom, the one who is determined to marry us. The fourth cup, and I must just finish that off for you so that you can understand why I say and speak of the bridegroom. It says this, I will take you to be my people. I will take you to be my people. I've heard those words said a number of occasions when I've conducted a wedding where you would say to the young man or the young lady, do you take this man? And here are the same words, I will take you. Do you take this young man to be, or do you take this man to be your lawful wedded husband? Do you take this body of believers to be my lawful wedded wife? I will take you to be my people. And that would be the fourth cup that they drank. And then so it continued. It's a glorious story. I'm not going to elaborate too much more on the story, but for us to understand that this took place on that day, the day that the Lord had made. And we can rejoice and be glad in it. We can rejoice and be glad in it. Can I say this to you? Well, let me ask this question. How saved are you this morning? How saved are you this morning? May I ask this question? How effective is the death of the Lord Jesus Christ? And you know what that's about. I don't have to explain that to you. How effective is the death of the Lord Jesus Christ? You see that we are in this world and we are now being convinced that there is a 20th century theology that is better than the theology that Jesus gave us when he said, this is my body and this is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, when he spoke about these things. Why did Jesus say to us, remember me? Did any of you forget Jesus? Why would he say, remember me? What would be the reason? What would be the reason? Maybe there are some clues in the scriptures. And one of the clues come from come from the time when Noah and the flood, and you remember the flood, and God set a bow in the sky, the rainbow in the sky. And what did he say about that? He said, every time I see the bow, God said this, every time I see the bow, I will remember my covenant. Jesus, in this time that we are going to share in the communion this morning, we're going to share in this communion. And as we share in this communion, what are we going to hear from the Lord Jesus? I will remember my covenant. This is like the bow in the sky. This is like something that God has given to us. He said, whenever you do this, do it in remembrance of me, because I will remember my covenant when you do this in remembrance of me. I'm determined as a family, my wife and I, to do this more often. We have not done this often. I think I should do it regularly, maybe every day. There would not be anything wrong because I would be reminding Jesus of his covenant. And that's why I've asked you the question, how saved are you today? How delivered do you feel? How delivered do you know that you're delivered? Or do we succumb to a 20th century theology that doesn't have much, diminished doctrines of the truth that Jesus has established for us, the new covenant? We are in a new covenant, something that is totally different from an old covenant. Shallow experiences of God. People living with crosses. You know how many times people said, oh, this is my cross. That's what Jesus asked you to bear when he said, take up your cross and follow me. He was actually saying, be prepared to give your life for me. That's what he was saying. It was not about our salvation. When we are to bear a cross, it's not a salvation cross that we bear. It's a cross that we are prepared to give our lives for him. Do we understand that we are free? That we are free from the things? So, this meeting is a short meeting today. But I want to go through one or two things for you so that you can understand some of the depth of what we're experiencing here today. Clearly, this was a great event, and it is something for us that we should partake of and receive with gladness in our heart, because we stand as those partaking of a new covenant, this cup. Never again would that be celebrated in the same way, the Passover. We do not. This is not the Passover feast. This is not the Passover feast. We celebrate the Passover of the Lamb. The Lamb of our God, that he was slain for us. That is what we celebrate. It is not a Passover feast. But the same things apply. The same things apply. He will set us free from the bondage. Are you free this morning of the bondage? He will bring us out. Has he brought you out? Do you sense that? Do you know that? Do you believe that? Do you live like that? He will bring you out. He will redeem you. Are these not all three the same things that he has just said over and over again, just with different words? No, every one of them have meaning for us. He will break the bondages. How many of us sit here this morning with bondage? I don't want you to raise your hand. I don't want you to stand up and say, it is me, it is I. I suffer with the bondage. I have trouble. But he has set us free from the bondage. Why? Because we are in a new covenant. He set us free. We are to rejoice in this. He brought us out. The bondages are broken. He brought us out. We have a new landlord. We have a new master, not the Egyptians anymore. We have a new master. He brought us out. We need to stop reveling in our failures, as though it belongs to us, as though it defines us. Let us stop crying like the Israelites cried and said, we have no straw to make bricks. Stop building Egyptian monuments. We don't have to do that anymore. We are free. We are delivered from slavery. We do not have to stick it out. We are not locked down into mindsets that don't belong to us. We have been redeemed. We have been set free. I will redeem you. It's a powerful evidence. This is a powerful evidence of the very thing that is declared to us in Psalm 23. And these are the words, I've set a table before you in the presence of my enemies, in the presence of your enemies. This table that we share of this morning is in the presence of his enemies. Do you understand that the devil never understood this? I am amazed. I am amazed that in the face of Satan, Jesus would actually say, I'm going to die and I'm going to stand up on the third day. I would be resurrected on the third day. In the face of Satan. And Satan would look at this and say, I don't get it. Because the Bible says that if he knew what would happen, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. He didn't know. He thought, well, I got the keys. So let's kill him. And they killed him. Through the whole thing of the trial, everything, they killed him. And I thought, this is it. We got him. I have the keys. Until they see him coming. Until they see him coming. Give me the keys. He took the keys. He took the keys. He took the keys, friends. We are no longer in bondage. Do you understand that? Do you understand that we have been set free? Set free. Free. We are free indeed. We are free indeed. He has taken the keys. He has the keys. We are free indeed. He has taken us out. And what waits for us is that we are one day to be joined with him. On that day when you will drink that cup again, new. Remember me. Remember me. I'm going to end there this morning. Remember me. Glorious moment. A glorious moment. Table set before us in the presence of our enemies. He will anoint our heads with oil and our cups will run over. Cups will run over. And we will live with him forever. In his home. Heavenly Father, I want to say thank you this morning for this cup, the cup of the New Testament in your blood, for it sets us free. It is a new covenant. It changes everything that we know to everything that you know and have purposed for us. It is a very, very different place.